Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with mothers and daughters around the world, literally around the world. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's a good day. You're up, you're moving around. You're not in the hospital. Think about it. You're eating the good of the land. That was in my thoughts this morning. I was talking to the Father. I said, you know, sometimes I would think, Lord, you promised me that I would eat the good of the land. And I thought about that thing. And I'm thinking, this is good as it gets. I mean, really, my health is good. I have peace. I have all the fruits of the Spirit. Joy, peace, happiness, forgiveness, kindness, control. Don't have all that together. Wisdom and understanding. You know, love, goodness and mercy, grace, faith. And you think about that. All of that is what you're eating. And Jesus provided that for me. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, I mean, what else can be better than that? I'm like, this is the good of the land. I have a very nice place to live, drive a nice car. All my needs are met. Do I want? Yes, of course. You know how we project. There's so many things that we just project out there that we want. But just stay right in the moment. If you could just draw yourself, mothers and daughters, into this, the minute you try to go backwards in a second, go forward in a second, then you become stressful because you start trying to project something that God never promised you. He didn't promise you the next second. He promised you the present, now. So all he promised you is now. And you're going to have to roll from now to now to now to now. That's it. And you cannot go back. So when you find yourself stressed out, you find yourself calling out to God about something that you think's going to happen, or he's not moving fast enough, he's not concerned about that. Because I got you now. And this is what I promise you now. So I'm in good standards, Bessie, with my word. I never promised you anything beyond now. So you're going to have to roll with me from one now to the next. And if you get outside of that, push me. You're trying to force me. And I'm still going to stay right here now. So if you really want to enjoy the good of the land, stand. Be still. Know that I'm God now. Not God coming, not God has been. Know that I'm God now. And in now is no fear. In now is your healing. In now is all that you can even imagine because in now is where it's at. Lord, I thank you now. Because if you're always looking for something, you'll miss what you have now. God and I had a conversation about this morning. I said, Lord, you know, thank you. And I've done a couple workshops and speaking engagements, and I use the topic now. I wish I could find one of them was so great. I wish I could find that topic. I got books and books of notebooks of things I've written. I'm going to go back through it because I always said, one day I'm going to do this again. On the now. Now is so key. Now is life. And if you get now is life, mothers and daughters, you know, with COVID-19, you won't be so stressed out because you are breathing right now. And you're okay right now. And once you believe that, now will take care of itself. You'll have the food to eat. You'll have a place to stay. All your needs will be met. It's just that God can't meet you when you project into the future. He can't meet you when you project them behind of you. He said, be still and know that I'm God. That means I'm God now. And now I can take care of you. And now I can't take care of you if you try to take me someplace that I did not promise you or someplace that I'm not going to go. Conversation with God this morning. Just thought I'd share that conversation. It might be a blessing to someone. Now is so key to our psychic and our mental status. Because I see people crying and asking God and making God feel guilty because he hasn't done what they think he should have done in the time frame that he should do it in. Like, who are you talking to? You're talking to God. How dare you try to get him to move? I've been there, done that. I stopped that foolishness a long time ago when he told me, you know, you can have all the tantrums you want. Literally, it's what he told me. I'm not going to do it because you want me to do it. So I got it. Many, many years ago, I stopped it. And he told me, stop. You know, he tell you to ask, but you know, you got to ask what he already promised. He's only going to do what he said he's going to do. You can change the script all you want to. You can try to add something to it. He tells you, don't put nothing to it. Don't add nothing to it. Don't take nothing away from it. But if you ask for what he's already told you he's going to give you, you're going to get it. But if you put a twist on it and he didn't promise that in his word is not going to go void to meet you. It's sad because you don't know the plan. You don't know what he's talking about. You don't know what his plans are. You didn't even know the coronavirus was going to hit. You didn't know we were going to be walking around this time of year with masks on and gloves on. You didn't know that you wouldn't be able to go in a restaurant or go to a shop and study. I mean, shop and do what you want to do and just walk the streets freely and hug people freely and pick up stuff and not even think about it and, you know, go anywhere you want to go and just be free. You didn't know that your life was going to change, but God knew. So, you know, you could have asked for something that would have put you in a position that God knew this was coming, and he didn't want you in that position because he knows what's ahead. He's the only one. Even Jesus said, God is the only one that knows. Jesus don't even know when he's coming back because God even told him. And if you don't tell Jesus something, you know he's not going to tell us. What am I saying this morning, mothers and daughters? I'm saying to you, just get in the now. Try it. I dare you to try it for 7 days. Just try it. Every time you try to project to the future, they say, no, I'm going to live right now because right now I'm fine. Right now I'm fine. Right now I'm fine because God is here now. He's not coming. He hasn't been here in the past. He's here now. Every now, you and God. Every now, you and God. And watch and see. you will not want for a thing. Because that's the way he takes care of your needs. Because, you know, every breath you take, he's now, he's giving you life. Every breath you breathe in, he gives you life. That's a gift. That's a miracle. And every exhale, you let not death. But he gives you life. Every time you breathe in, he gives you life. Every second you breathe in, you get life. Because you never know when you're going to breathe in that second and exhale, and you won't be able to breathe in the next second. One day you're going to breathe, you're going to exhale, transition. So whatever you think you're going through, just think about it. You don't have no problems. Stop acting like little children, having a tantrum. Good. Stop it. Just think. Every breath I take, God's giving me life. He gives me a gift every time I breathe in air. He sustained me. When I exhale, he gives me the miracle gift of inhaling life. The land. Think about it. If you're not inhaling, then you're gone. That's the end of the land. So every time you inhale, you eating the good of the land, because you own the land and you're receiving life, and life is good as it gets, and you should be grateful. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you, God. I get to breathe in life. Thank you, God. Thank you. You do that, and you let him know how appreciative you are. That's your praise and your worship. It ain't about dancing and running around in the room and doing what you do. And praise and worship is simply being with God, just thanking him for air to breathe, which is the biggest thing that you can ever get from God. Because he's sustaining you through life, and life is the air that you breathe. And when you exhale, he's so gracious, and he loves you. He allows you to take another breath. Like I say, one day you're going to take a breath, you're going to exhale, and you won't be able to take another breath. So be grateful every time you breathe in air, because that's in the now. You're not waiting till next week to see if you can get a breath of air. So stop trying to go to the next hour, even the next minute. Just breathe. Just receive the gift of life and be grateful. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's
everybody?
Hello. They say
wow. Hello. Wow. Be grateful for the day. I tell you, I was just thinking, when we pray, give us our daily bread, just for the day.
Yeah.
Daily. That's for the day. Yes. Take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow got its own issues.
Yep. How you doing this morning? I'm doing great. Doing great. I couldn't be better. I am just so grateful right now. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. Good morning, Ms. Deborah. And good morning, audience. How are you guys? I see you guys are, we're getting it. We're getting it, guys. We ain't got it, but we're getting it. You know, it's we're reading this term, using positive psychology every day, and it talks about the flow. Matter of fact, we had the most amazing conversation last night of scripture and how it's so important to learn to be in the flow. But by that same token, We have to know where the flow comes from. You are in God's flow because he created you with the purpose, on purpose, for purpose. And when we get out of his will and his purpose, that's when we get in trouble. That's when we start projecting. That's when we start to want everything, because God says, and Jesus said, man, do not feed on bread alone. We, you know, we want everything other than what God have for us in every moment that he allows us. And when we learn to do that, we're going to be walking in the positive flow of God every minute, every second, every hour that he allows us. It's not an easy task to do. You just have to be reminded of it. And so the conversation was right on point. It's just learning to just be in the flow where God have you at right now.
Mhm. Yeah. Well, first of all, let's say, Father God, I just thank you this morning. I thank you for this opportunity for Deborah, Seth and myself to get on. Thank you for choosing us for this moment as we breathe in and out, as we listen to the Holy Ghost Spirit, as we share what you put on our heart. I just want to say thank you. I am honored to be selected to do this. And I look forward to doing it. And I do it out of the joy of my heart. And I believe that's the same sentiments from Cynthia and Deborah. We are happy and just excited to share what you put on our heart to mothers and daughters around the world. And I just want to thank you in Jesus' name with the Holy Spirit as bearing witness. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. A lot of things going on, but God is still God. God is still moving. God has not changed. He has not moved. He has not changed his address. He's in the same position he was from the beginning. He said, I'm the same God then, and I'm the same God now. Jesus is right beside him. Jesus came down, did what he had to do. He taught us. He said, look, I done gave you all the instructions. I left the book for you. You can follow the instructions if you want to. If you don't, you got a choice. He said, I suggest that you choose following the book. I suggest that you choose the training. You know, don't continuously flunk the class. Take the course over and over again. It's going to be a time when you're going to have to pass that test in order to go to the next course. So if you're somewhere, mothers and daughters, it's because you're not reading the Word of God enough. It's because you're not having conversations with God, and you're still in the same course, 101. You've got to come to the next level. And to come to the next level, you can't watch television and be in gossip and talking and running all over the place and taking your time shopping and on the phone and on social media. You know, if you just take your social media time and gave it to God, if you just take your social media time and give that time to God, what a difference your life would be. You know, it's not all about money. It's about your peace of mind. It's about aches and pains and the devil trying to attack your body. It's about just sitting around tormented, always got your mind projected in somebody else's world instead of being in the world that God created for you. Everyone has their own world. You decide how you're going to run that world. You are the president of your government, and you can govern yourself any way you want because God will allow it. But, oh, when it's come time to shut the government down, your personal government is what I'm talking about. And now you got to come and add all your little taxes up and all your little, and all the departments that you had in your government going to have to be accounted for. And the best way that you can get through that is that you're going to have conversations with God. You're going to have to spend time with God. You're going to have to really listen to God, and you're going to have to be a doer of the word. Yeah, everybody know, I read the Bible. I know the Bible. I'm this and I'm that and I'm the other. I'm listening to this person, I'm listening to that person. Don't mean jack nothing if you're not going to do it.
You got to do it. That's when God know you got it. When you start actually living the faith that you're talking about, living the faith that you're reading about, living the faith that Jesus told you, that God sent him to tell you. He tell you in Mark 22, have faith in God. That's it. Boom. Have faith in God. That alone is all you need to know. I tell them out of all the words in the Bible. And I forgot, I did look it up, so many thousand words in the Bible. But out of all the words in the Bible, there's only four words that matters. Have faith in God. That's the center of the Bible. Everything else is just pointing toward those four words. Thank God. You get that, the rest of it take care of itself. Because if you have faith in God, then you're going to believe what Jesus said. You got the Holy Ghost Spirit going to tell you anything you need to know. There's nothing I want to know that I can't ask the Holy Spirit and he don't tell me. And sometimes, like yesterday morning, I got up, he told me something to tell my daughter. And I said, okay. And I asked him again. I said, okay, I just want to make sure because, see, I know how she is. She's one of those type of people. I don't care who tells her, she's going to think about it. And I love it because that's the way I trained her. That's the way I raised her up. She's not going to just take what you say. And I'm her mother. And she hear me. She said, okay, Mama, let me pray about it. I'm okay. Good. That's what I want you to do. But say I'm out there, she'll say, I don't know. I'm really going to think about that because that hadn't come to me like that. Okay. I respect that. She'll go do what she does. She'll come back and say, Mama, yeah, okay, I got the word on that. But this particular time when I told her, and I said, well, Lord, okay, now you're telling me to tell her to do it this way. All right. So I said to her, I said, Angie, I said, now I want you to think about this. And if it fits with you, then fine. If it don't, then that's okay too. But, you know, when I tell you God told me something, you know, I'm not telling you to take it face value. I'm telling you to go back to God for confirmation. And so when I started telling her, she started laughing. She just giggled just a little bit. And I was thinking, well, okay, what was that about? But I went on, told everything the Lord told me. Said, Mama, she said, you know what? I don't have to go to God on that because he already told me, but I wasn't sure if I was like, God, you sure that's the way you want me to do that? You know, he said, and she said, and he told me one thing to tell her to do in that whole scenario that she didn't get. And she said, now that's just confirmation. She said, that's why I laughed, because then I knew God had told them. And they had the conversation the day before. So, you know, you have got to build a relationship with God that you will know his voice. And when he tells you something, you know, if you don't understand, it's okay. God, show it to me in another way. Let me make sure this is you. And then he'll tell somebody else to tell you. Just to make sure that you get it, it's always going to be confirming. He's always going to tell you something, and then you know, he's going to confirm it with something else if he knows that you didn't get it quite clear. She missed a part, and he woke me up and told me, saying to you, mothers and daughters out there, is that you have the power and authority. Use it. But you don't know to use it if you don't know what he said. You got to know what he said in order to get the best from it. Anybody want to say anything on that? I'm just leaving the mic open, you guys.
Well, I would like to share, you know, one of our students, an audience, you may not know, one of our students, our daughter was in a coma for 3 years, for 3 weeks out of a car accident recently. And I asked her last night, what was her greatest moment of peace and what was her greatest moment of despair? She said her greatest moment of peace was when she pulled out the Bible and she read the word of God, reminded her daughter, despite the fact she was in a coma, she read the word of God out loud to her. And she said she closed her eyes, and she was holding her daughter's hand after she read that scripture. And she felt she had not felt this warmth. She felt the warmth in her hand, her daughter's hand. And 5 minutes later, her daughter opened up her eyes and just started talking as though nothing had ever happened. She said that was her greatest moment of peace. Not the fact that she woke up, but the fact that she felt that God was present right there with her. And it is in the word that she found the peace that she needed so she wouldn't miss the miracle of God. It is in those moments because, like I told her, the word of God gives us what we need when we need it. But because we allow our emotions to get involved, sometimes we miss the miracles of God. And because she was still, as Dr. Fletcher suggests, the stillness, the small voice, the reminder of God's word gave her the peace she needed to receive the blessing and the miracle of God in that moment. It wasn't about him waking her up. It was about the fact that she realized that God was right there with her in it all.
And I'm going to add something to that, audience. I'm going to take y'all back a week before that happened. I woke up and God told me to call her and tell her something. And I said, she had already told me and Professor Oliver, Cynthia is Professor Oliver. So told us that she didn't want to talk to anybody. The enemy tried to get her to shut down from us. She texted me, I don't want to talk to nobody right now, but I'll text. And so I got up that morning, and the Lord told me to call her. And then I said, now, she don't want to take no phone calls, Lord. So he said, text her and tell her she need to call you. I text her, and I told her, I said, the Lord told me to tell you, God has something for me to tell you, and I cannot do it through a text. So I'm going to need you to call me because you don't want to miss this word from the Lord. It took her about an hour or so, but she called. And I told her exactly what the Lord said. She was crying and all emotional and just, I said, girl, stop it. I told her, just stop crying because that don't mean nothing. That's not helping the baby at all. Just stop crying. I was rough with her. So she finally got herself together. I said, now this is what God told me to tell you. Now you can listen and do it, or you can not listen and miss God. God said to go in there and tell and get your daughter. Tell your daughter to come back because you have need for her here on this earth. And tell her that you love her and tell her the things you are going to do. Tell her to come back. So go get your daughter. She said, well, I don't know. I said, I'm telling you what God said. Now, you can do it or not do it, or you can stand around and cry and miss God. So she got herself together. She said she went back in there, and she told her daughter she wanted her to come back, that she loved her, that they were going to be doing, and she wanted to spend some more time with her here on earth. She just needed her to come back. And so she said she did all of that. Now, this was one Friday. It was the next Friday when she went back down there and started reading her favorite. Her daughter has a favorite. Her daughter is a Christian, and I want that to be known too. Daughter's very wise, and her daughter has a Bible verse that she likes, and that was her favorite Bible verse that she opened that book up and read, and that's when she found God because, see, God, she did what God told her to do. And he must have put on her heart, now read her favorite Bible verse. Came back like nothing happened, like she just was sleeping and woke up. We were all dancing around, audience, like, look at God. Tells you, you know, you may think that the person don't look like somebody that can hear from God. They may not even project the light that you think that they should project to be someone of God. But if somebody tell you, God told me to tell you something, don't use your little attitudes and your little emotions and your little uppity nose and arrogance to think, why would God tell you to tell me something? See, that's the kind of people God uses.
because he just want to see if you're going to receive what the word is. It may be somebody sitting on the street. It could be he could be homeless laying there, or she could be homeless laying there looking like you think nothing. But God is inside her and him. God is there. And God will use whoever. He told me this yesterday. I use whoever I want to use. So don't just throw somebody's suggestions or prophecies away because they don't look like who you look, because God's going to come to you in a way to test you to see if you're going to be arrogant, if you think you're better than somebody else. That's how you're going to miss the blessing, because you're not looking. That's God right there. Everything I look at, the trees, that's God right there. The buildings, that's God right there. God is in it all. Deborah, you want to jump in?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm just listening and I'm absorbing, and I tell you, it's just awesome how God do use people. And he'll use, and you made me remember the time when the man in the Bible was sick and laid out on the side of the road, and we had some Christians pass by, some ministers pass by, where God used a man that didn't know God to come and say, what is old? When I come back, I'll give you the balance. You take care of him. So, like you say, it ain't always going to be somebody that's saved, that's following the Lord. It ain't always be a minister or a pastor that's preaching in the pulpit. It ain't always be somebody on Instagram or YouTube and got the microphone and the platform. It's going to be somebody that God knows that's going to be right with bringing the word of encouragement or bringing the word to get his job done. He said, my word would not go out and be void. It will accomplish the thing. I said it accomplished. He didn't say who he's going to send to accomplish, how he's going to get there. He said, but the word is going to go out. So when the word go out, you pay heed to whoever brings it. It doesn't matter about the messenger. It's the message. If we can get past looking at what people look like, what people sound like, what status and how many followers they got, then we can get on with receiving the blessing from God, because he's not going to always use the popular. Like you say, he know if you're gonna heed to it. He's just gonna show you what you're made of. You don't want to listen to him because you got on dirty clothes. You don't listen to him.
Yeah.
Remember the song, Mr. Window, and the young man say, "I buy you some shoes if you give me some knowledge." The young man wanted some knowledge from the old man. God talks about getting wisdom from the older people. He didn't say the man was saving the song. He said, "If you give me some wisdom, Mr. Window, I'll buy you some shoes." And so that's what God is saying. He'll use anybody that's willing to be used, saved or not. He said, if you don't go, I'll find somebody to represent me that don't look like you, that ain't on this side of the journey. I'll find somebody. And you know, and so I've had people. Let me tell you something. I will remember when I was in my addiction and doing my thing, I was having some issues, and there was a girl there that they used to try to mistreat. The girl was a fallen nurse. She used to be in the field of nursing, but she was on that road of destruction, getting high. The girl gave me, I know what it was? It was Charlie horses. I was having cramps in my legs, and the girl was telling me how to do it, step for step. She said, when you lay down, separate your legs, so what happened, the cramp go from one leg to the other. Say, what you do is you separate them, and you try to walk it out. But whatever you do, you keep it separated. And when I say that blood was on point, and I learned a lesson. And this was many years ago. I learned a lesson. I don't care what state. We was getting high. We was in the hotel, and the girl say, was telling me, I said, I'm having these bad Charlie horses. They so bad that they, you know, and the girl told me what to do. And I was like, wow, you know, God can use anybody. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. I know if you can use me. All the expert X before everything, if he can use me, he can use anybody. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Fletcher, allow me to jump in there for a moment. And, you know, what we don't understand and what people don't really understand, because I just learned this yesterday. And so we're always learning, guys. The Holy Spirit gives you what you need. I was reading yesterday, a day before yesterday, And it was about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Some people think it means to curse the Holy Spirit, or that's the only way God says that's the only thing is the unforgivable sin. But blaspheming is the Holy Spirit is a mindset that is firmly set against God, unwilling to acknowledge Him, even when one knows that they should. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit means denying the power of God, and is mentioned by Jesus in connection with the unpardoning sin. In other words, when God sends people to give you a message and you resist it, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And I just learned that day before yesterday. When you resist the miracles and the word and what people bring, because like you said, don't judge a book by its cover. Because God can use anybody. And if God has given somebody something to give you, and you resist it because you think you know it all, you are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And I just thought it's just that simple. It's the resistance of the word of God, and it's the resistance of the will of God. When God sends you a word, when God's trying to get you to understand, it's me. But when you resist, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit because you're saying you don't know what you're talking about. The Holy Spirit don't know what he's talking about, because God can use anybody. Don't judge a book by its cover. Because if you look at our students, because we work with the population of those in substance abuse, you wouldn't even think she know the word. But I tell you, these women who we work with, they know the word, despite the fact that they have been behind prison bars. So do not judge a book by its cover.
I was thinking when Deborah was talking about some of the issues, the person that gave her the information about the cramps in the legs, and something came up into my mind. But I must say now that, you know, I don't know how I got way off here. We never even got to our topic today. Our topic is things mothers and daughters can do during COVID-19. So I need to bring that in, because when people start listening, they're like, well, what in the world? Y'all ain't telling us that we can do with COVID-19. Yes, we are. This is what you can do. You can have faith in God. You can know that when someone comes to bring you a word during this critical time in life, that you can listen, because God's going to send you what you need through man, because that's the only way he can get to you. Spirit is floating around in the air. You will miss it because you miss the Holy Ghost. When he's floating around, he's a spirit. You don't see him, so sometimes you don't believe it. So for those who he knows that is not going to believe in the Holy Ghost spirit, that is a spirit and is walking among you. Because some people, it's like Peter. Until they can touch it, until they can, you know, feel it, I'm not going to believe. Not Peter Thomas. Oh, Doubting Thomas. That's why they call him Doubting Thomas. Because he's a until I see him, until I touch him and see the holes in his hands, spear in the side, the hole in the side, I'm not going to believe it. And he had to just say, and I know Thomas didn't want to touch him, because see, now that put him on point. Jesus said, here you go, Thomas, stick your finger through there. And he's not, and I'm probably saying, oh, no, Lord, I believe. No, Lord, can you just imagine? No, I got it. I got it. It's you. No. No. Stick your finger in here, because you say the only way you're going to believe is that you could stick your finger through, or that you could see the hole in my hand. So I want you to know. Can you imagine what position he was in? So that's what happens. If we don't see it, we can't touch it, we don't believe. That's why he says have faith in God. Because if you have faith in God, whom you have never seen, whom no one has seen except one person that I've ever heard in the Bible saying that they've seen him, and that was Moses. And Moses didn't see, he saw the backside of him. And that was so much that Moses could not even come down the mountain. His face was so beamed up, lit up, that the people couldn't look at him. He had to put a cover over his face. So
If you have faith in God, who is the Almighty Spirit, then you can believe anything else. That's why I say it's the only four words in the Bible that count. Because you got to believe in the, you got to believe that he exists, even as you haven't seen him. Because, see, Jesus was seen by other people. So you got a reference there. People walked with him, ate with him. They laughed, talked, did work together. He did miracles. Oh, Jesus was like any other man. That's why some people have problems believing that. But if you can have faith in God, I mean, if you can just believe that there is a God, that you can believe that he exists even though no one's never seen him, if you can believe in God, then you can believe in anything else. So that's what you can do during this time. Read your Bible. Have some conversations with God. I thought when God gave me this topic this morning, I surely thought it was about, you know, because I even thought about an article we had written for the magazine. I said, okay, then, you know, we could talk about date night or doing the nails and the hair. And, you know, I mean, really, I went just that simple. But you see, talking about it, he didn't even start me off with the title. He made sure I got into what he wanted me to get in, and I didn't even know where I was going until now. It's not about that simple stuff. He just told me. He said, no. It's about reading your Bible. It's about spending time. If you want to know how to get through COVID-19, you got to talk to God. There ain't no other way to get past it. And the only way you can get to God is you got to stop by Jesus. Yeah, but like, Jesus, look, I need to repent for my ways. I need you to accept me as your child. But I need to talk to you because through you I can get to God. See, when you're talking to God, the thing that people don't realize is that you are positioned directly behind Jesus. Every time you open your mouth to speak to God, just imagine you standing directly behind Jesus, because he can only see you through Jesus. Vision myself behind Jesus and says, Jesus, this is what I'd like for you to, you know, I want to talk to God about this, but I'd like for you to tell God this or ask God if I can do this or through your name I ask God. But I know he's between me and God. Don't ever think when he said come boldly to the throne that you can usher your earthly body before Jesus, because you're not going to get to him but through Jesus, and people get all twisted about that. He can't see Ness. So you got a shield and a buckler that's going to position you, hold you tight. That belt is going to strap you in. Jesus is that shield so that you can have your conversations with God. You're never going to just go up to God without Jesus. He's going to have to come in. There's no way. He said the only way you can get to the Father is through me. But I want to go back to how God shows up in so many different ways. My mother always told me to treat people like you want to be treated. She said, baby, if you do that, 9 times out of 10, you're going to hit the mark. Because most people don't like it either. And I was talking to a lady this week. She's from Australia. You know, sometimes our distances, we're raised different, and different things we say different. Like we say mother here, and they say mom there. Sort of like the English in London, they mom type of thing. But she said, you know, my mom always taught me to treat people like I want to be treated. And I said, wow. I said, you know, that Cynthia's on this line, and Cynthia's been knowing me now for about 11 years. And she'll tell you, they used to get upset with me, but I'm like, no, we're going to be fair. I don't care who it is. It could be Mrs. Obama walk into that meeting, and, you know, if she comes in late, I'm not going to get somebody to move off the front row for her to sit on the front row because she's Mrs. Obama, and I love her dearly. She has to find the seat that she gets because that's fair. And I think she would appreciate that too. But sometimes people think that,
oh, this is so-and-so and so, oh, this is Dr. So-and-so and this so-and-so and so, and you got to make provisions. No, I don't believe in that. Everybody's going to be treated equally. And if I don't have enough for one, I'm not going to open it up to give any. So that's another one that my mother taught me. You eating something and you don't have enough to give everybody, just let it stay where it's at. So when I was coming up, working at the Urban League downtown, and I would park my car. At the time, I had a Peugeot. And the Peugeot was, Lord, it had two major batteries. And I would park my car, and I'd get out, come in. I parked in the garage, but this particular day, I parked on the street because I had someplace to go at a meeting. So I was getting out, and I'd come down the street. And in the morning time, at that time, I wore hats. Every day, I had a hat on. And so I was known by the people on the street with the lady with the hat. So they would come to me and say, hey, ma'am, little lady with the hat on, look, can you give me a dollar, you know? I need a dollar. And I would say to them, I'd say, okay, what do you need the dollar for? Tell me the truth. I just need to put that dollar with this because I just need to get me a shot this morning to get me up and running. Okay, I give them the dollar. People said to me, why would you give them a dollar if they tell you they're going to get a shot? That's not my problem. But see, I'm praying for them anyway. I'm going to give them the dollar because he was honest with me. See, I don't like people to come tell me I'm hungry and knowing that they're going to do something else. I can deal with honesty. So they said, girl, you done opened up a can of worms. Every time you come down the street, everybody's going to be just stopping you. I said, and when the Lord tell me not to give, I will not give. But I give. You hungry? I give. You want me to go buy you some food? I'll give. It's not that I'm trying to get from anybody or anything like that, because I know, I tell people I'm from South Carolina, and everybody looks to me like my family member. That's the way I look at it, you know. So one day I parked on the side of the street, left my lights on, and I went into the office, and a couple of them came in there looking for me. And they thought they would come looking for money, and they didn't want to tell them where my office was. And this guy said, no, I want to see the little lady with the hat on. I need to see the little lady with the hat on. So they finally called me, and I came down. And he said, I just came to tell you that you left your lights on, sister, and I don't want your battery run because I know when you park on the side of the street, you usually going to be coming in and running out, but you stayed in a little longer this morning, and I just wanted you to know your lights was on. I said, oh, okay, thank you. I went and got my keys, came back, turned my lights off, and they said to me when I said that, they said, we watch you. When you walk the streets, we watch you. We cover you. We watch your car. Now, see, I didn't even know anything about that. We cover you when you're on the streets. We know you only because I didn't act like I was above them. I stopped, I talked to them, we laughed, and I didn't even know it. So sometimes, mothers and daughters, when we get to be arrogant and we think that we all this, that, and the other, that's why I tell people, and they be like, well, Dr. Fletcher, can we do this? That? No. See, because people want to put you on a pedestal, and if you buy into that Kool-Aid, you will drown and you will die quick. Because we're all on the same playing field, and that's what people are realizing now with COVID-19. God just turned the earth upside down and spread the playing field even. Nobody can feel that they are so much better than the other. I got this going on. Well, now you have nothing going on. You got time to talk to God. You got time to reassess. You got time to look at people differently. That's what this is about. Is it happening? In some cases, yes. But what we see is a lot of disturbance, but don't let that fool you. God is still moving, and God has still got people working and holding and standing, and we are praying and we're standing and believing to shall pass. So what can you do during this time of COVID-19? You can have conversations with God. You can figure out what God wants you to do, because now you got the time to start working on your part of the plan that God created. So Don't let this time go to waste. Don't let it go to waste. Okay. Anybody want to jump in on that?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, we are giving people wise counsel. But one thing that you said earlier, Dr. Fletcher, I wanted to reinforce is that God is all confirming. If someone tells you something, suggests something, or give you instructions, God will always confirm it if you seek Him. Because there's life, and you also said this: there's nothing you ask the Holy Spirit if you're true in heart. It's all about the genuineness of the heart. If you're true in heart and you're asking the Holy Spirit to what you need to know about whatever situation it is, He is going to confirm if it was God who has said what this person has given you. Because if I don't know anything else, because I know God is all confirming, and there's a saying in most of Oprah's book, what do you know? The one thing you know, the one thing I know, God is real and that He's all confirming. I don't know much, but because of the way that God operates in my life, God will never tell anybody anything about you that He won't confirm to you. So I just wanted to say that.
And that lets you know how to make decisions, too. You know, somebody tell me something, I'm like, oh, okay. Let me think about that. Because, you know, I remember the times when, back in the day, when all five of us would get together, and sometimes all of y'all would try to get me to make a decision on something because all of y'all agreed. You know, it looked like I was standing out there by myself, and then they would say to me, "Well, you're just so quick to say no. You're just so quick to say no." And I said, "No, I'm not quick to say no, because while y'all talking, I'm talking to the Holy Spirit." When people start trying to tell me something, the minute they start talking, I say, "Holy Spirit, show me what I need to know. Show me what I need to know. What should I say?" And then I'm listening, but I already done talked to the Holy Spirit about it. So when I say no, it's not no because I'm trying to be mean. No, why would I do that when we work for the same cause? But it's no because that's not what the Holy Spirit is telling me to do at that time. And sometimes people don't understand that. I haven't got to the point, it used to bother me, but I got to the point now where I said, no, I don't have to explain anything to anybody. I don't have to get permission from anybody. See, when you grow up in Christ, then you learn you can say no in Christ. And so that is a big growth, and that's something mothers and daughters that you, if you learn anything else, you got to learn to say no sometimes. You know when you need to say no, but what you do, because you want to be popular, because you want somebody to like you, because you don't want them to put you out of the group, because you don't want them to have the little meeting and don't call you, you don't want to be left out of the little breakfast club because you think they like you. All of those reasons, you say yes when you know God put in your heart no. And then you say yes, and what happened? They all turn on you, and you look back over it, and you say, I should have said no. Said no this time and that time and the other time. Pleasing man is not going to work for you. You please God, and He'll put man at your feet. So just do God, and He'll do all the rest. Deborah, you want to say something before we end? I guess she's gone. But anyway.
Probably got us on mute.
I'm here.
Probably got
okay.
It on mute and don't realize. There she go.
No,
there she go.
I mess around and mess
mute,
my
mute,
voice.
Mute
and
me. Can't hear me.
I'm here. Good stuff. God will confirm. He'll tell you. You know, when He tell you, He gonna tell somebody else because He know that you having a hard time understanding or trusting or hearing. that that's what he's saying. So when he says somebody that's confirming, you already know. Thank you, Lord. You already know.
Yep.
Good stuff, good stuff.
And then now you got to do what Tiffany said. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Do it.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah, don't grieve the Holy Ghost.
Faith without, because for faith without works is dead. You can say you got faith in God, but if you don't move when he tell you to move, that ain't faith.
Yeah. But now I want people to know, grieving the Holy Ghost is one thing, but blaspheming is a whole different thing. So we're not talking about blaspheming, because blaspheming is the only thing that you can do that God says is unforgivable. And Lord knows who want to blaspheme, because you might as well go on and check out. Because if you're not going to be forgiven, you might as well go check out. I don't know what all that means. I got ideas, and I've read and got a you know, but, you know, I said, Lord, don't let me blaspheme the Holy Ghost Spirit. You know what I mean? So you want to stick as close to the Holy Ghost as you can and be as honest as you can. And when I say Holy Ghost, that's that spirit that speaks to you through your belly. You will feel that spirit. This is kind of balling up in your stomach. You know when you're wrong. You know when you're wrong. You know. But you override that. And then the experience that you have from that, sometimes it's not pleasant. Most time it's not. So, ladies.
And Dr. Fletcher allowed me to just give some scripture, and people can read it for themselves about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Matthew 12:31-32, Mark 3:28-29, Luke 12:8-10.
Okay, there you go. You got it. Read it. Get an understanding.
Say you don't know.
That's one area that you don't want to go in. It's a dangerous place to be. And we all, mothers and daughters, I just want to round this up to say we are not preaching to you. We are sharing with you because we are still in class. We're still in class. Whether we're in the same class with you or not, we're in a class in the University of the Kingdom of God. And we're always learning. And Jesus is our teacher. He's our instructor. Many, many courses. And you just one of the courses that he teach, and you have to go to him. Just like you would any instructor in school, you go to that instructor. When you don't understand, you go to that instructor and say, look, as Deborah can say, can you break that down for me? Because I don't have it. I haven't gotten it. I tell God all the time, can you tell me that in other words? Other words means give it to me simple. Give it to me in layman's terms because I want to make sure I got it. Now, once he does that and he makes sure you have it and then your tests come up, you shouldn't fail that test because that test is going to, you should have already known. And the test is not a written test like in a course. The test is going to be through another human being. Will your brother or sister come to you and ask you for a loaf of bread and you know you got two loaves of bread in your cupboard and you tell, oh, well, no, we don't have any bread. I only got a couple slices. Girl, if I had some more, I'd let you have it. But, child, I'm sure I go through the bread so much, I only have a couple slices left. See, the God's going to hold you accountable because he's saying you should have took one of those loaves of bread and give it to that, because she had need for that loaf of bread, and you had two. And see, you now you done cut off your blessings. So you got to realize you're in class, you're training, you read, that's your class. Wherever you are, everybody's in a different class at a different place and a different time, because he's going to teach you where you are and bring you from there up.
I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, ladies, I didn't even realize we ran out of time. Thank God this thing records up for about, it records, I think, about 10 minutes past the time just to make sure you don't get cut really off. But it was a good show, very good show. Mothers and daughters, that's our advice to you on COVID-19, what you can do during this time. Ladies, as always, it's a pleasure and it's a joy. It's a good show.
Amen.
Have
a good day. And I just
Amen.
Want to say,
audience,
happy Father's Day.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Happy
Father's
Day to the fathers that's listening.
Yes.
And to and to the mothers, you know, give them a break. They're not perfect. Give them a break. Try to make them feel special. Try to build them up where he's broken down so he can be the man that God is calling them to be. So invest in the fathers. We need the fathers in these families. We need the parents to help do this job together called raising our girls, raising our boys. In Jesus' name, I pray that you encourage them. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I'm sorry, ladies. I didn't even think about it. Yeah, happy Father's Day to all the gentlemen, especially my son-in-law, who I think is just a wonderful, wonderful man. I couldn't pick a better person for my daughter. And that's, you know, that's something to say, and I mean that from my heart. Love him. Just couldn't pick a wonderful husband for my father, for my daughter, or a father for my grandchildren. And happy Father's Day to Al. I know he's around somewhere. He's a great father.
He's in the man cave. I'll let him know.
Yeah, that's the Oliver's husband, my buddy. He's a great father. He's a great father. I love him. All right. Happy Father's Day to everybody else out there, cousins, friends.
Here he
uncles.
Goes. The ladies say Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's
Happy
Day, Al.
Thank you, ladies.
You
thank
hear?
You very much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. I just told him you're my best friend, and you're a good father. So happy Father's Day to you. All right,
thank
ladies,
you.
Gotta go. You're welcome. All right, ladies, you gotta go. Y'all have a good one.
All
and
right,
be
love
good
you guys.
Father's
love the audience.
Bye-bye.
Love you.